Yes, that's part of it, said Henry. I mean, no one wants to listen to a slug.
Where are you from, Henry? Said Nanny.
Really from, said Granny. I grew up in Rookery Yard in the Shades. They're in Ankh-Morpork, said Henry. It was a terrible rough place. There were only three ways out. You could sing your way out or you could fight your way out.
What was the third way? Said Nanny.
Oh, you could go down that little alleyway into Shamlegger Street and then cut down into Treacle Mine Road, said Henry. But no one ever amounted to anything who went that way.
He sighed.
I made a few coppers singing in taverns and such like, he said. But when I tried for anything better, they said, what is your name? And I said, Henry Slug, and they'd laugh. I thought of changing my name, but everyone in Ankh-Morpork knew who I was, and no one wanted to listen to anyone called plain Henry Slug.
Nanny nodded. It's like with conjurers, she said. They're never called Fred What's-a-Name. It's always something like the Great Astoundo, fresh from the court of the King of Clatch, and Gladys.
And everyone takes notice, said Granny, and are always careful not to ask themselves, if he's come from the King of Clatch, why is he doing card tricks here in Slice, population 7? The trick is to make sure that everywhere you go you are from somewhere else, said Henry. And then I was famous, but you'd got stuck as Enrico, said Granny.
He nodded.
I was only going to do it to make some money. I was going to come back and marry my little Angeline.
Who was she? Said Granny.
Oh, a girl I grew up with, said Henry, vaguely.
Sharing the same gutter in the back streets of Ankh-Morpork kind of thing, said Nanny, in an understanding voice.
Gutter? In those days you had to put your name down and wait 5 years for a gutter, said Henry. We thought people in gutters were knobs. Oh, we shared a drain with two other families and a man who juggled eels, he sighed. But I moved on, and then there was always somewhere else to go, and they liked me in Brindisi, and...
He blew his nose on the handkerchief, carefully folded it up, and produced another one from his pocket.
I don't mind the pasta and the squid, he said. Well, not much. But you can't get a decent pint for love nor money. And they put olive oil on everything. And tomatoes give me the rash. And there isn't what I'd call a good hard cheese in the whole country.
He dabbed at his face with the handkerchief.
And people are so kind, he said. I thought I'd get a few beefsteaks when I travelled, but wherever I go, they do pasta, especially for me, in tomato sauce. Sometimes they fry it. And what they do to the squid, oh,
he shuddered.
Then they all grin and watch me eat it. They think I enjoy it. What I'd give for a plate of nice roast mutton with cloutey dumplings.
Well, why don't you say, said Nanny. He shrugged.
Enrico Basilica eats pasta, he said. There's not much I can do about it now.
He sat back.
You're interested in music, Mrs. Ogg?
Nanny nodded proudly. I can get a tune out of just about anything if you give me 5 minutes to study it, she said. And our Jason can play the violin, and our Kev can blow the trombone, and all my kids can sing, and our Sean can fart any melody you care to name.
A very talented family indeed, said Enrico.
He fumbled in a waistcoat pocket and took out 2 oblongs of cardboard.
So, please, ladies, accept these as a small token of gratitude from someone who eats other people's pies. Our little secret, eh?
He winked desperately at Nanny.
They're open tickets for the opera.
Well, that's amazing, said Nanny, because we're going to the...
Why, thank you very much, said Granny Weatherwax, taking the tickets. How very gracious of you. We shall be sure to go. And if you'll excuse me, said Enrico, I must catch up on my sleep.
Don't worry. I shouldn't think it's had time to get far away, said Nanny.
The singer leaned back, pulled the handkerchief over his face, and after a few minutes began to snore the happy snore of someone who had done his duty and now, with any luck, wouldn't have to meet these rather disconcerting old women ever again.
He's well away, said Nanny after a while.
She glanced at the tickets in Granny's hand.
You want to visit the opera? She said.
Granny stared into space.
I said, do you want to visit the opera?
Granny looked at the tickets.
What I want don't signify, I suspect, she said.
Nanny Ogg nodded. Granny Weatherwax was firmly against fiction. Life was hard enough without lies floating around and changing the way people thought.
and because the theatre was fiction made flesh, she hated the theatre most of all. But that was it. Hate was exactly the right word. Hate is a force of attraction. Hate is just love with its back turned. She didn't loathe the theatre, because had she done so, she would have avoided it completely.